From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made with a conversation between a man and his wife. The couple was attending a performance at a club where one of the regular performers decided to open up about something in his personal life, his prostate cancer diagnosis. The performer's message hit home with the couple. The wife turned to her husband and asked him to go see a doctor. She was concerned about his symptoms. After he pushed back a little at first, the man eventually agreed to call his doctor first thing in the morning. That was a scene from the film The Black Walnut. And while fictional, the film's themes are rooted in reality. It follows the stories of six black men as they move from prostate cancer diagnosis to treatment and to advocacy work. According to the American Cancer Society, black men are 70 to 110% more likely to develop prostate cancer than white men. And black men are twice as likely to die from prostate cancer as white men. The team behind The Black Walnut hopes to raise awareness about that disparity and encourage more men to get checked out. In fact, many of the actors in the film are prostate cancer survivors dedicated to doing that advocacy work. That film will be screened at the Little Theater two weeks from now, September 23rd. It's part of the Black Cinema Series, which is a partnership between the Rochester Association of Black Journalists and the Little Theater. There will be a panel discussion following the film, and audience members can sign up for access to prostate-specific antigen testing. You may know that as PSA testing, and that's going to be part of the event 2 weeks from tonight. Research shows 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in their lifetimes, and so those PSA checks are critical for early detection of the disease. This hour, we're previewing the film. We're talking about prostate cancer, and we're talking to survivors about their stories. We're going to hear from clinicians about the latest in prostate cancer research and treatment. Let's welcome our guests now. Joining us in studio, Daryl Vickers is a peer educator for the PC Peer program at UR Medicine and a prostate cancer survivor with a rather remarkable story himself. Thank you for being here, Daryl.
Thank you guys for having me, Dawson.
And welcome as well to Richard McCullough. Richard is President Emeritus of the Rochester Association of Black Journalists, producer, a director, a videographer, a journalist, broadcast meteorologist. I think we got most of the resume.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be here, Evan.
Thank you for being here, Richard. Welcome as well on the phone. Terrence Affer Anderson is the filmmaker of The Black Walnut and a prostate cancer survivor. Terrence, thank you for making time for the program.
Thank you also. Thank you for the invite. I appreciate it.
Dr. Anis Fazili is with us, a urologist at Rochester Regional Health. Doctor, thanks for being with us.
It's an honor to be here, Evan. Thank you so much.
And Dr. Gene Joseph, Scott Professor and Chairman of the Department of Urology and a Professor of Oncology at UR Medicine. Dr. Joseph, thank you for being here as well.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having us.
Terrence, how did this film become the project that you wanted to do? Take me a little bit through that story.
Surely. Some years ago, way back in 2016, I had the good fortune of being included in the premier cohort of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation Culture of Health Leaders, which dealt specifically with health equity, diversity, and inclusion. And as a prostate cancer survivor, I was diagnosed some 7 years earlier in 2009. I had already started doing some advocacy work addressing the disparity. And so I just opted to tell this story in film. And I saw the importance of it because when I was diagnosed, I learned that neither of my two brothers had ever been diagnosed. And so they were both screened. And my elder brother was diagnosed with a later stage than I. And so that really truly impressed upon me the importance of spreading the word. And I wanted to use a platform that was easily accessible to people that would provide a dramatic storytelling to increase awareness of the disparity, to increase the awareness of the importance of early detection.
Well, and we're going to be talking about The Black Walnut coming up here. I will say that, you know, the film, while fictional, it absolutely keys in on some of the conversations that couples may have, that men may have, how resistant men may be. I think we can stereotype and say that sometimes it's hard enough to get men to go to the doctor at all, you know, let alone for a subject like this. And, you know, that's before the program began, Daryl Vickers was telling me a little bit about your story. And I said, you know, tell me a little bit about getting diagnosed. You said you were 40 years old. 40. And I said, that is too young. for this? And yes. What did you say?
Yes, absolutely. I was 40 years old at the time, which seems like a lifetime ago now. So back around 2008, I had a scheduled physical with my doctor. And he had the wherewithal to recognize that black men ran a higher risk of being diagnosed with prostate cancer. He suggested that I have the PSA done, and I said yes, and lo and behold, the results were what they were.
What did you think? You're 40 years old.
I was a mixed bag of emotions. First off, I was afraid. I didn't really know how to react to the diagnosis. And after I started talking to a lot of folks about it, I remember I had the encounter of meeting this older gentleman, older African-American gentleman. He was a member at the Carlson Center YMCA. And he and I started talking, and I discovered that he had also went through prostate cancer. And the one thing that he shared with me, he said the biggest challenge that I would have as a result of my diagnosis was not the physical issues that I would have, but the conscious issues and the mental issues that came along with it. And he was absolutely right. Because 16, 17 years later, I'm still battling and struggling with a lot of the emotional and mental issues that came along with
prostate cancer. But you're doing okay, huh?
I'm here. I'm living a pretty decent life post prostate cancer. But that doesn't mean that there hasn't been tons of struggles along the way. I just so happened to have Dr. Joseph be my surgeon, and he and I haven't seen one another in quite some time. So at some point, I'm just really excited to see him again, because I think me having him as my surgeon and him being on the cutting edge of the type of treatment that I have probably helped save my life.
Dr. Joseph, can I just ask a little bit about, the work that you do, and maybe the idea that a lot of men in particular, I think, are nervous about it. They don't want to talk about it. They don't often want to think about it. They don't want to get checked for it. But here's this remarkable success story. And what do you make of these kinds of success stories when you hear Daryl's story?
We are certainly fortunate to be in a community where the healthcare system is at the cutting edge. All our hospitals in the region have fantastic physicians caring for patients in the region. And that's something many communities don't have, unfortunately. But we in the area have strong teams in the entire upstate New York, Mono County, where there's a strong presence of great physicians to care for patients such as Daryl to really make a difference. And that's what we strive for. And Daryl, I hear your story, no question there, and obviously I remember you very well. When we see a patient with prostate cancer, obviously, well, first of all, many factors we can get back to. But just to respond to some of what Daryl shared, our goal as physicians or as urologists is to get our patients back to normalcy. That's what we strive for, and to really make the treatment as to allow the patient to forget that they went through the treatment. But it's a tough location to work on, and obviously there are many things that we're going to talk about this morning and this afternoon, I'm sure. The prostate, where it's located, at the very roots of it, that affects people's desire to get tested, to go to treatment. And there are many factors involved that we have to discuss besides the disparities involved in as to how people of African descent are more likely to have prostate cancer or die of it, as you said in your opening segment. So I don't want to monopolize the discussion, but I just want to say that there are many factors there, but we want to return patients to normalcy the best way we can. What we try to convey to patients is that the earlier you find out, the more treatments we can provide, and the treatments certainly can be challenging, but we can address them as well to get that person, if not normal, but as close to normal as possible.
Well, let me just follow up with Dr. Joseph and ask Dr. Fazili a question before we turn back to our, you know, the non-doctor guests here. I think there's a misperception, and maybe this is my own experience, but the first time that I really was aware of prostate cancer was when it was in my family with a much older relative who was approaching 90 years old. And I remember specifically a family member saying, don't worry, that's the good kind of cancer to get. That most people die with prostate cancer, not from it. That if you're going to get it, and I'm, you know, I was, you know, barely an adult at the time. I didn't know much about it. And I took some comfort in that. And the older I get, and I'm very, very sort of sensitive to cancer right now. There's a lot of it in my family. It's been a very hard few years. There is no good cancer. There is no, I understand there's different kinds and there's different levels of aggression and there's different possible impacts. But I think it would be a disservice to everybody if we described prostate cancer the way it was first described to me. And the older I get, I am not thinking about it in that sense. And Dr. Joseph, how do you sort of describe it, and how would you want to make sure that people view it properly, I guess?
Yes, very important. Again, recognizing it early is the key. My father had prostate cancer, and during the course of the evaluation, we found out that he had pancreatic cancer also that had already metastasized. So, but I often counsel patients really, this is prostate, not pancreatic. And I tell my own story, my own family's story. But the reality of course, is we can categorize the prostate cancer. There are some that are slow growing. There are some cancers we never hear about because the person dies of something else or something else comes along. But there are some cancers out there that affect a lot of men. The higher the grade, the more aggressive. There are people in our community. You may have heard of the Woodward Health Center. Dr. Woodward was a pediatrician here at the medical center, and he fell and broke his hip from prostate cancer. And he died of the disease. I'm just mentioning names of people we know, and we hear it in the news all the time. But there are cancers out there that certainly kill. We don't want the people to only hear of those that don't hurt. So it's up to us as physicians to help clarify for the patient if the cancer is aggressive, it should be dealt with. There are some cancers we just put the person on what we call active surveillance to monitor it. If the person is unhealthy, we don't want to put the person to any treatment that they won't benefit from. So at the end of the day, it's really stratifying the cancer to assess the risk. And my discussion with patients is always the cancer characteristics, first of all, and where is that person is in life, what's important to him or his family. So that's how we go to that discussion. But the core of it is help them realize, hey, we found out about it. What do we do about it? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we move and get it done, get it taken care of, but other times we watch it also if it's appropriate. So there are different types of cancer is the point I'm making.
Dr. Fazili, how would you characterize it?
Yeah, Evan, I think you hit the nail on the head here in that, you know, there is so much confusion about prostate cancer, even within the medical community. And that's what makes this so difficult is that if there's already disagreements within the medical community, it gets even more challenging to then relay that information to the, you know, lay public. And I guess the key takeaway I would tell, well, I do tell many patients, and I'd say right now as well, is that not all prostate cancers are equal. It is not like it's a shade of gray, and everything is on a spectrum. And so while many of them are, like Dr. Joseph was just saying, those indolent tumors that are slowly growing and they can be watching, that's not true for every patient. And then the onus falls on us as the, you know, oncologist or the urologist or other physicians involved in the care to then stratify people into different groups to figure out which cancers need to be treated, which cancers can be watched, and you know, the whole spectrum of disease, unfortunately. And there is a lot of confusion because of how nuanced it is, and there really is just so many shades of gray when it comes to prostate cancer.
Well, and so we've been talking about this film, The Black Walnut, which I would encourage listeners to put on your calendar for 2 weeks from tonight, Monday, September 23rd at 7 p.m. at the Little Theater. Doors open at 6:30. Tickets are free, but they do ask that you register in advance. We'll have a link on our website to do that, and then a discussion. You know, Daryl is telling his story. We're going to get back to Terrence in just a second. And Richard McCullough, our friend, is with us in studio as well. Richard, what's your connection here?
Well, Black Cinema Series, it has a responsibility, we feel, to inform the public about these various topics. And we've had a great collaboration with WXXI and the Little Theater for over 7 years, coming up on 8 years in January. So we're very happy to present this topic and very happy to make sure that the public understands that, just because one of the basic reasons is because there's a disproportionate number of Black men who are affected by prostate cancer. And we thought it was very important to have this presentation and have this conversation. This conversation that we're having today is going to, somebody's going to hear this and be affected by it in a positive way. So that's what we think is very important. I can tell you also that cancer touches everybody. I lost both of my parents to cancer. By the time I was 12, I was an orphan. So cancer affects a lot of people. My mother-in-law died of cancer, of breast cancer. So it affects everyone. And so it's something we have to have a conversation about, and we're very happy to have the folks here. And also, have those tests are very important. When I was teaching in the schools, one of my students said, "Mr. McCullough, you're going to have a prostate cancer. You're going to have a prostate examination, and you know, talking about all this stuff." He said, "I would never do that," you know, and all this kind of thing. And I said, "You know, when you're older, and people love you and care about you and depend on you, you have to get past that." And I was I talked to the whole class, this particularly, but Black men have a problem, I think, generally have a problem about being examined and getting out to the hospital, talking to the doctors and so forth. So it's very important that we do that.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you being here to help spread the word there. Again, it's 2 weeks from tonight. The film is The Black Walnut, and Terrence Affer Anderson is the filmmaker of The Black Walnut. Terrence, in the work that you've done, not only understanding your own cancer, your own story, but you know, learning about this community, what is your explanation for why Black men are affected so much more acutely by this disease, Terrence?
Well, and as much as I don't have any clinical training, I'm slow to respond to that. I can only suggest that one of the reasons, there are multiple reasons the disparity exists. And that relates directly, I think, to the social determinants of health, where someone lives and their income and education and so forth. And there are a lot of barriers to African-American men getting good health care. And I made a reference to diversity, equity, and inclusion earlier. And sometimes there is some mistrust of the medical institutions. I also want to point out, if I may, that while the story, the basic theme of the film is a fictionalized story, in that context, the six actual prostate cancers, well, there are nine prostate cancers that appear, survival warriors that appear in the film, but six stories are told of real people. I wanted to do that again to show real people how they are, in fact, as well as their families, touched by prostate cancer. It's very noteworthy that three of the men whose stories are told in the film have since passed on from prostate cancer. And that scene that you referenced earlier with the couple sitting in the restaurant, yeah, talking, the gentleman in that particular scene was a dear friend of mine, an actor by the name of Rodney Souter. He just passed recently. He had some other health conditions, but he also was a two-time prostate cancer survivor. He told me prior to his passing that his prostate cancer had returned. So I'm hoping that I answered your question.
Yeah,
there.
First of all, I mean, I want to stress the point that Terrence is making here. Dramatized versions of these are real life stories, and these stories really do represent the kinds of struggles that people have, not only with diagnosis, but with just kind of grappling with whether you want to get tested, confronting what it might mean, the way couples are affected. I mean, this can be very personal. It can be difficult. Men in general, I turned 45. I haven't had a colonoscopy yet this year. I know people around me have been giving me a hard time for that. I know. I've got to do it. And, if you are a man who's worried about what a PSA test might reveal because you're worried, what if it's bad? Like, what if the numbers are bad? Does this affect me? How does this affect me personally? Does it affect my intimacy? Does it affect, my sex life? Does it affect my partner? That's not easy for people. That can be very personal. And that can be very motivating to get people to decide, well, I'm not going to get tested. But part of what Terrence is also describing, and I'll ask the doctors for their expert opinion. Dr. Fazili, I'll start with you first. Terrence is saying the numbers are really awful here for black men. There's a huge disparity, and a lot of that is probably due to lack of good healthcare options, resources, social determinants of health. How do you see it, doctor?
Absolutely. I mean, it is clear the numbers are there. 37% of new cancer cases in African American men. 37% are prostate cancer, and we already said they are twice as likely to die from prostate cancer as compared to Caucasian men. And the reason for that, it's more aggressive when it's found. It's a later stage, and a lot of that, unfortunately, is very preventable with earlier detection, earlier screening with a PSA blood test, and there are these barriers to care which are causing African American men to be at a higher risk of developing prostate cancer at a later stage and being found later. And there are those socioeconomic barriers. There is that historical mistrust, but there's also just the point of kind of maybe knowledge barriers or lack of knowledge about when to get screened, what numbers really matter in terms of a PSA blood test. And that's why this is being so nicely addressed by this film, by Mr. Afra Anderson, and even by this program today that you guys are putting on here to really get the word out about early PSA screening. One other point, though, from a medical standpoint, is that there are true underlying genetic and heritable factors that are at work here that are just poorly understood, and the research is ongoing. And the point I make to a lot of patients, especially my minority patients, is that, the disparities that we all see in healthcare even extends to research priorities and research funding. A lot of the genetic studies that are out there for a lot of cancers, those have been based on patients of European ancestry. All right, we've known about BRCA1 and 2 and the risk of ovarian and breast cancer since the 90s. All right, and we now know that those same genes can affect prostate cancer, but there are so many other undiscovered genes that are likely more common in men with African descent that are playing a role in prostate cancer. There actually was an excellent article from European Urology, which was one of the flagship journals in our field, just last year, where they found a bunch of novel markers. It was the largest known genetic study of prostate cancer in men of African descent. And they found several novel markers, but that research is still ongoing as to what those actually mean. And there was even a VA study here in America in JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association, back in 2022, which showed that even in this cohort of patients from the VA, and so it was trying to eliminate issues with access and delivery of care because everyone was getting their care at the Veterans Hospital and outpatient facilities and trying to neutralize that risk of access and socioeconomic determinants of health, even in that group, the African American men still had double the risk of an incidence of not only prostate cancer, but also metastatic prostate cancer. And so there are these genetic heritable things that unfortunately we as a medical community have not fully understood now. And that's why a big plug that I make to a lot of my patients is getting their whole families tested. Just like, Mr. Afra Anderson was saying how, he got tested, then your brothers, were tested after you. And I make sure to try to get genetic studies on a lot of my patients that are in a higher risk cohort with the hopes that as we get more patients genetic testing and we are able to expand our knowledge base about some of these so far unknown genetic variants that are going to play a larger role in the future and help us diagnose patients even sooner.
Testing, doctor, starting at what age?
Yeah, so basically the newest guidelines are saying that men who are at high risk, and that includes African-American men or those who have a family history or who have one of those genetic traits I already mentioned, like a BRCA1 or 2 mutation, should actually get a baseline PSA between age 40 and 45. And so that is much earlier than previously discussed. And, you know, like the point you made earlier, Evan, about, you know, a lot of the confusion about, you know, when to even do prostate cancer screening and does it matter, you know, that problem is within the medical societies having different guidelines. So the United States Preventive Services Task Force says start at age 55. The American College of Surgeons, American Cancer Society, rather, says start around age 50, maybe at 45 if they're really high risk. But the American Urological Association, the National Comprehensive Cancer Network, and even the Prostate Cancer Foundation are all in key alignment and kind of keep it simple here that a baseline PSA in high-risk individuals, which includes African-American men, should be done between the ages of 40 to 45, and then get the blood test every 1 to 2 years after that. And the Prostate Cancer Foundation came up with those new recommendations just earlier this year to clarify a lot of the confusion among the different medical societies. And they even, you know, made the point, the American Urological Association, that the rectal exam is now becoming more optional and more as a confirmatory test after the PSA. So some of that stigma that guys have about getting, you know, screened for prostate cancer and having a rectal exam, well, at the very least, a simple blood test can answer so much.
And Dr. Joseph, did you want to add to that?
Yeah, I want to add to that. Frankly, there are certainly different things that are coming to the fore for us to better diagnose prostate cancer. And we certainly, the guidelines still recommend doing the proper examination and the blood test. It's a simple blood test. PSA, for those of you who don't know, stands for prostate-specific antigen. It's a protein. The prostate makes it. When it's elevated, it tells us something is going on with the prostate. It doesn't mean that it's cancer. Something is going on with it. But there are some cancers that don't produce PSA. Therefore, the exam still remains an important component for physicians to do in regular physical examinations that we should have as much as we can. And in terms of, I just want to speak to the issue. I'm glad Terrence and the team is addressing this. I'm looking forward to the film. The issues of mistrust and access are not unfounded whatsoever. If you go back into the history, there is obviously a rationale for the mistrust and the access issues that we have to keep addressing them to ensure that people can get care when they need it at the proper age, as my colleague just mentioned, to start the screening process. There are three things really we have to tackle here. There is the early detection, and there is the treatment piece, and the third piece is the prevention, which we have to tackle. Research, we have multiple research arenas we are addressing as far as these three go, but the early detection remains key, especially in at-risk population, and folks who are at risk should be screened. As my colleague was discussing, for African descent, most of us who are on the call are at risk. And starting the screening process at the age 40, 45, that's what's recommended. And the exam is part of that as well. And now we have new technology that we can utilize to better diagnose prostate cancer, the use of MRI technology. And on the treatment piece, a lot has happened to lessen the insult to the patient, to the body, when we treat patients. Different types of treatments have evolved, whether it's removing the prostate or ablating the cancer. We have made great strides in lessening the challenges that Mr. Vickers spoke to at the very beginning. But at the end of the day, the goal is to return to normalcy, but most importantly, avoid dying of prostate cancer. As Terrence mentioned, all these folks in the film unfortunately died of the disease, and those of us who've been in practice know patients who've died of it that we wish we had met or we had encountered sooner to treat them. That's the fact. So
when we come back, go ahead, Dr. Joseph. Yeah, yep.
No, I think back to the issue of access and mistrust, I think we have to be most intentional in targeting those through awareness, to being open about those such as Terrence and Richard who are speaking today. being open about their stories helps break down the barriers to some extent, but access remains an issue for us to address in the Black community.
Well, when we come back from this only break of the hour, we are going to talk more about our guests' experiences. I'm curious to know, you know, when Daryl, when Terrence got their diagnoses, what did people around them think? You know, what did friends think? What did male friends or family members think? And has that moved other people? Terrence already talked about this, but, you know, how much action did it move other people to take in their own lives? And how much did they have to learn about prostate cancer? We're talking about the film The Black Walnut, which is showing at the Little Theater 2 weeks from tonight, a 7 p.m. showing on Monday, September 23rd. And we recommend that you do that. It's a free showing, but registration is required. We'll have a link on our website. Terrence Affer Anderson is the filmmaker of The Black Walnut, who is with us this hour, and a prostate cancer survivor. Daryl Vickers, a survivor and a peer educator for the PC Peer Program at UR Medicine. Richard McCullough, President Emeritus of the Rochester Association of Black Journalists, is with us. And a couple of colleagues, some guests in the professional world sharing what the very latest on prostate cancer is. Dr. John Joseph is with us, Chairman of the Department of Urology and Professor of Oncology at UR Medicine. Dr. Anise Fazili, who is a urologist at Rochester Regional Health. We're right back with them after this only break. I'm Evan Dawson. Tuesday on The Next Connections, my guest is Sarang Shador, director of the Global South Program at the Quincy Institute. He's someone who teaches a class on the geopolitics of climate change and focuses on grand strategy, geopolitical risk, climate security, and understanding what risk looks like around the world. Should be a great conversation. That's Tuesday. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Listeners, I've got questions from you. We're going to get a couple questions in for the doctors coming up here, and we'll work that in as we go. I want to ask Terrence, the filmmaker of The Black Walnut and a prostate cancer survivor, you know, maybe it's because I'm feeling, you know, just so much cancer around my life lately that I'm thinking a little fatalistically about it, not about outcomes, but just about how much cancer is out there. And yet it still can't feel normal to get a diagnosis. It can't feel expected. I mean, Terrence, how did it hit you? And then take me through the process of trying to make sure you understood what it was, and the people around you, particularly the men in your life, you know, did they understand what it was, and were they moved to act based on your experience?
Well, very frankly, when I got word of the diagnosis, I found myself very curious as to why I wasn't freaking out. You know, when someone tells you cancer, that really gets your attention. And I couldn't understand. I wasn't sure initially why it didn't really truly stress me out. And I concluded that there were a couple of things. First and foremost, just very frankly speaking, it was my faith. Supplement to that, I retired from the Virginia Department of Health in 2016, and I was doing public relations and marketing and community outreach work when I was with the Norfolk Department of Public Health. And a part of that was working with the American Cancer Society, which was staging the local chapter, which was staging an African-American men's health forum every year. And this was before I was ever diagnosed. And the principal focus of the African-American men's health forum was prostate cancer. I chaired the marketing and public relations committee, and there were a lot of people that were involved in that programming that were prostate cancer survivors. So when I was eventually diagnosed, I was at a good place because prior to my diagnosis, I was just where I needed to be. I was getting a great deal of information. But one other thing that I learned from that experience that touched me deeply is that I didn't want my family to, particularly my two beautiful daughters, I didn't want them to be unnecessarily stressed out as I was going through the process and being screened. And so I didn't let them know what was happening until I got the ultimate diagnosis. And boy, they read me the riot act. Told me never to do that again. Never conceal from them what is going on. And that was a very powerful moment for me. Another powerful moment after the diagnosis is that, I learned that neither of my brothers had ever been screened. But following my diagnosis, not just my elder brother was screened, was diagnosed, but his son was diagnosed. I had two cousins diagnosed as well, and an in-law in the family. So I can't say that all of this was directly related to people being screened after my own diagnosis, but I have great confidence that that was in fact the case. Again, just spreading the word. So the family, Dr. Fazili and Dr. Joshua Joseph mentioned this. The family impact of prostate cancer is significant. When you're diagnosed with cancer, it's almost to the point that you are not the only one that's being diagnosed. Your family is diagnosed as well because they're going to take that journey with you. And that was something else, again, that I wanted to address in the film. But my diagnosis was the follow-up to my diagnosis was a curious one because it just proved, it just made me much more insightful about my own journey and how it could influence and impact other people by spreading that word.
Well, Daryl, what about your story? How similar does Terrence's story sound to yours?
There's a lot of parallels with Terrence's story as mine. But I'd just like to add a bit more to the discussion here. So after I went through the procedure of having my cancer treated, you know, the post prostate cancer life after that took on a whole life of its own. So especially in, you know, the support, cancer support world, you know, so going around trying to find support groups of men that looked like me was a huge challenge at the time. Because of my age, in a lot of the rooms that I would go into, there was no black men my age in those rooms. Majority of the men, well, all of the men in the rooms were older white men, 65, 70 years old. And at the time, I was in the prime of my life. I was not the face of prostate cancer. So to see that a lot of that has changed 16, 17 years later is a big plus. But just to add, a lot of the issues that I've heard Mr. Terrence talk about, I agree with those things. But, this has been a struggle. This has definitely been an event that I wouldn't wish on anyone. The procedure is very invasive, and there was a lot of complications that I experienced after my surgery. It probably took, maybe 6-7 years for me to finally develop a baseline of normalcy in my life after my radical prostatectomy to cure myself of prostate cancer. It was a struggle, but thank God and because of the works of modern medicine, I'm a lot better today. But it was definitely a journey traveled.
What do you think, Daryl, people get wrong the most when they think about prostate cancer?
Well, in the work that I do in the community, one of the biggest challenges that I have is helping the men rid the myths of what prostate cancer is and what prostate cancer is not. And one of the biggest issues that I've encountered with men is that they somehow misunderstand what the prostate cancer screening is. And also what prostate cancer is. A lot of men, when I begin to talk to them with the work that we do, and I'll start having discussions with them about if they were ever screened, they'll say, oh, yeah, I was screened. And I'll say, well, tell me a little bit about the screening process that you encountered. Well, I had to go to the doctor. I had to give a sample. I had to take the sample back. And I'll say to them, well, sir, that's not that's not a prostate cancer screening. So a lot of time the men get it confused because they're thinking that the colorectal screening is prostate cancer and prostate cancer is the colorectal screening. So in the education that we do and the work that we do, we help to educate the men about what is a prostate cancer screening and what's not a prostate cancer screening.
Okay. And do you feel like when people get the right information, they're generally willing to act on it, willing to either get checked, tested, et cetera? Or do you think there's still a lot of hesitation for people to start engage with that process?
There's huge hesitation regarding the prostate cancer screening because a lot of the men, again, are so much concerned about the DRE, the digital rectal exam. And I try to explain to a lot of the men is that over the years, the digital rectal exam has been downgraded. It's not as important or not as frequently used as it once was, but it is still part of the overall diagnosing of the prostate cancer. But I let them know all the time that the number one screening process for prostate cancer is the PSA exam. It's a simple, non-invasive procedure. It's as simple as going to the doctor and having your cholesterol checked. But a lot of men are still hung up on that major barrier, and that still seems to be very consistent with most of the men that I speak to in the work that I do.
Let me talk to Drs. Fazili and Joseph about this. So, Dr. Fazili, first, what are the biggest misconceptions about this?
Yeah, I think you just kind of heard it there as well, is that people do think when they're getting their colon cancer screened that they're getting their prostate checked, and that's not at all the same thing. And I think that is one of the biggest barriers. I think the other barrier really does come from even their primary doctors perhaps maybe not understanding what's an abnormal PSA. I mean, the confusion is so rampant even in the medical community, as I kind of mentioned earlier, is all these different conflicting guidelines. And so, you know, to keep it simple, what I tell a lot of patients that, look, if you have a PSA blood test and it's above 3, that raises one eyebrow already, all right? When it's above 4, which is with all the blood test actual labs have their cutoff, now I have 2 eyebrows up, all right? That's raises 2 eyebrows. But the PSA above 3 is already slightly concerning. But if you just get your blood test, it's going to, and you get, you know, maybe one of those printouts or your doctor's looking at it, it looks normal. It looks green because that's where it should be. It's less than 4. But, you know, in certain higher risk populations, including African-American men or depending on the patient's age, you know, even a PSA above 3 should be alarming. And so it does get tricky because the PSA, as I always tell my patients, needs to be interpreted in context. All right. But getting the PSA is the single most important thing, and getting tested early so that it can be found earlier if, God forbid, it's there.
Dr. Joseph, misconceptions. What do you want to add?
Yeah, just to reiterate some of what Del shared, the PSA is a simple blood test. And the exam, people have difficulty with it. And to clarify the exam, a doctor puts, or a provider puts a gloved finger and palpate the prostate, looking for lumps or bumps that may suggest cancer. As I mentioned earlier, not all prostate cancers produce a high PSA. And you palpate for nodularity or abnormality to suggest further intervention, which could be an ultrasound or an MRI, which are advances. A lot of progress have been made in diagnosing prostate cancer. What I tell patients is really, know your numbers. Just like Daryl mentioned, what's your cholesterol? What's your blood sugar? What is your PSA? Know your numbers. That remains key. Have a card in your pocket so you can keep track of it. So that you know in life, things do happen as we get older. Cancer happens, generally speaking, as we get older. It's a disease of the elderly primarily. And so is prostate cancer. As we get older, the higher the likelihood of us having it. Back to the question you asked earlier as to the difficulty a man may have. What I tell patients is really, most of them, to me, they tend to go in that cave as opposed to having conversations with others. In this community, we have very strong associations such as US2 and Camp Good Days, who provide a forum for men to speak about this. And I'm surprised by Terrence's comment as to how this did not bother him too much, but he spoke to his faith, and truly very important in the family. And it's not a one-man disease. And having conversation with your spouse as you go through the diagnostic process, the treatment process, it's not a one-person's problem if someone has side effects after surgery. So having these conversations is really very important. Sorry.
Terrence,
I had one more thing.
Go ahead, doctor.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, the other important barrier, I guess, that, you know, maybe it's important to clarify for listeners is that at the end of the day, prostate cancer is a very insidious disease. There are usually no symptoms, all right? I don't think that's really been stressed much in this conversation today, but that's the key thing. People are going to feel fine. By the time you have symptoms, unfortunately, it's usually too late and the horse is out of the barn, so to speak. And so that's why it's so important to get that blood test. You know, doing the rectal exam is definitely important for guys who are skittish about it. At the very least, get that PSA blood test. But people are usually not going to have symptoms, unfortunately, until it's very late, which is why we rely on these other screening tests so importantly.
All right. And by the way, Terrence, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I had a recurrence last fall. Just as with the initial diagnosis back in 2009, we got to it early. And my comment about not necessarily being completely stressed out, that's more providing some commentary on the importance of information. That's why I was suggesting that I was in an environment where I was very well informed by the time I received the diagnosis. Mm-hmm. This has been a very interesting and a good discussion. I'm very appreciative of it. The only thing I would add is referring a bit to something Dr. Fazili spoke on earlier, and that's the importance of getting black men to participate in research studies as well, because like the United States Preventive Services Task Force back in 2012 made a recommendation that the PSA was being done in excess, and so people kind of pulled away from that. And the unfortunate thing is that recommendation by the task force was based on studies that didn't have a quantitative sampling of African-American men that participated in it. And the irony, of course, is that African-American men are the most affected by the disease. So if this is my last comment today, I would certainly like to say that if we can encourage more black men to participate in studies, that we can get even greater information about the incidence of prostate cancer in African-American men.
Well said. And Richard McCullough, President Emeritus of the Dr. Joseph, go ahead.
If I just want to add, this was the impetus for my involvement in forming a group, we call it CONDUCT, Consortium on Disparities of Urologic Conditions. This is a group of folks of African-American academicians around the country, working at Johns Hopkins, MD Anderson, UCSF, multiple institutions around the country, where we are collecting data to ultimately help provide answers, because African-Americans tend not to be a large proportion of any studies. So here we're looking to answer questions that we still have about prostate cancer, such a common problem. The preventive portion I talked about, the prevention, in addition to earlier detection, better treatment, preventing it, it remains key for us to address. So we formed this consortium, conducturology.com, where we are gathering on a regular basis, having conversations and working with different companies to come up with answers to various questions we still have about why this, beyond access, beyond social determinants, the biology of the disease is part of the problem as well that we need to address.
Well, the film is The Black Walnut, 2 weeks from tonight, 7 p.m. on Monday, September 23rd. And Richard McCullough, this is why you have these series, right? To have these conversations.
Absolutely. This, you know, Evan, as you know, effective ways to communicate films. Films are an effective way of communicating ideas and themes and raising awareness. And if we can make some individuals in our community aware of the prevalence of prostate cancer and aware that these things happen, they kill us, they can make us very, very sick. But if we can catch it early, as the doctors have said, catch it early, then we've done our job. And we're hoping to have more of these kind of discussions with the Black Cinema Series, working with Matt Matt Deterk at the the theater and so forth. He's been very fantastic in helping us get these films, and we're very happy to be here today.
Well, here for that. And let me close with this question here. And I'll tell you that the film, The Black Walnut, doesn't shy away from the hard conversations that couples have. And in a situation with a possible prostate cancer diagnosis, there's concerns about intimacy. A listener asks, is it true that after you've been diagnosed with prostate cancer, you can't have sex? And is it true that you can't have sex after surgery? So just briefly, Dr. Fazili, do you want to hit that question?
Yeah, sure. The answer is no, that is not true. There is a risk of having erectile dysfunction and losing either quality erections or erections altogether, but it's not a foregone conclusion that just having the surgery or just having the treatment will completely make intimacy, a thing of the past. What I always tell patients is that, at the end of the day, we got to treat your prostate cancer and minimize the side effects to the best of our ability. And there are ways to, I always tell people, I can always bring erections back if that's something you want. All right, there's always treatments for that. I said, I kind of make a joke, and I'll say it again here, that, it's amazing when modern medicine and how research priorities get funded. I said, I have a million cures for erectile dysfunction. I can always bring someone's erections back. I don't have a magic cure for cancer all the time, but I can definitely cure erectile dysfunction. All right. And so that's one of those facts of life, unfortunately, in some ways. But we can always treat the erectile dysfunction afterwards if it happens. And Dr. Joseph made a great point earlier about how the treatments have evolved over time to decrease the risk of erectile dysfunction. I mean, and we are very fortunate in the Rochester area to have some of the best healthcare, I would say, in the country, which is really nice.
I want to thank our guests for an outstanding conversation and the work that they are doing in various ways. We're all here because Terrence Affer Anderson has created the film The Black Walnut. Terrence is a prostate cancer survivor and filmmaker. We look forward to the film in 2 weeks in Rochester. Thank you, Terrence.
Thank you.
7 p.m. Monday, September 23rd. The Rochester Association of Black Journalists working with the Little Theater. Richard McCullough, thank you for being here as always.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Daryl Vickers in studio, a peer educator for PC Peer. You're helping a lot of people. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you for having me.
And our thanks to Dr. Anise Fazili. Dr. Fazili, thank you for the expertise.
Oh, thank you so much.
Dr. Jean-Joseph, thank you for the expertise, Dr. Joseph.
Thank you for keeping this topic front and centered. Cancer you don't know about until it hurts you.
From
appreciate all the work, Terrence. Great work.
Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.